16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Theme music. Direct from the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. Who's going to say it? Oh, that would have been so good if I had that pumped up a little higher. Sorry, Stork.
That's all right.
You sounded just like Justine. So we're doing a special show today, guys. It's called Everybody Is Out Today. So who can I call at the last minute and who will come through? And it's Besotted Geek, Stork himself, and Brent from the Home Video Hustle, of course.
What's going on?
The dependable one. Mr. Fix-It, we call him in the business. The mechanic.
That's right.
That's right. It's Brent from the Home Video Hustle. Stork is here. I'm here. The power of three, the triumvirate, the triple threat, triple trouble. Anybody else got anything?
The three amigos.
There we go. Sticking with the Latin theme. Love it. How you guys doing?
Great.
Wonderful.
Let me ask you two. Now, you both are part of a network, not the same network, but you are both now part of a podcasting network. How is that working out for you, fellas?
Well, it's probably quadrupled our listenership from 1 to 4.
So it's me, Otter. No, my wife listens, and Brent. Oh, that's 4.
Yeah, I'm counting her.
Okay, good, good. Well, you and Peacock listen too.
No. Why would we put ourselves through that?
So you can hear jokes about tall George Costanzas. That's still my favorite thing ever. Has it really helped your listenership? Has it really? Have you noticed a spike? For real now?
Yeah, it's gone up.
Don't sound so excited, Stork. What about you, Brent?
We're trying to keep a balance between anonymity and fame, and it's really hard to do.
Yeah, that fame is knocking. You can't keep it. You can bar the door. It's like Night of the Living Dead. You can bar the door and you can hide in the basement, but eventually that fame is going to creep in there. And then just when you think you're rescued, they shoot you. So there it is.
Spoilers.
Oh yeah, sorry. We talked about it last week. Brent, how about you? How's the network life treating you?
It's been doing pretty good, for real. We've had a bunch of new listeners pop up, and we're getting like reviews of the podcast on Facebook now, and we got advertisements in the show, so we made a little bit of money, not a whole lot.
Nice.
So
I am not going to let any of the crew that's on the show, I'm going to delete that just because I don't want them to think that there's money to be made doing this. It's the last thing I want. I have a mutiny on my hands. Now, did you guys both start? You haven't started a Patreon, Stork, right? You don't do a Patreon.
No, we're kind of against it.
whatever it is.
Yeah, it's.
You're against
it. I don't
know.
We're just doing this for fun, and we're not. I don't want the extra pressure or trying to deliver extra content. We do enough. That's, you know.
I don't want to have to try to be good. That's my thing.
That too. Yeah.
Screw them. They get enough. It's free.
Yes.
Now, Brent, you went over to the Patreon site. How do you feel about it? What do you think?
Haven't made one yet, but we're gonna wait a little bit because right when we were thinking about making one, it seemed like every other podcast started doing this. So we were like, well, that's probably not the best time to do it right now.
Yeah, we're kind of in the same boat. I talked about it on the show. The only reason I feel I really didn't want to, and the only reason I feel like I do now is because we're doing the Digital Movie Club. It's 300 plus movies eventually if we ever finish. We might not. We may. We might not. But they're all movies that I own. But Patrick, Jake, Justine, John, they have to rent them if they don't own them already. Because a lot of these movies that, I mean, you've heard the show so far. It's not really going to be up until the 80s and 90s that they're going to hit stuff that they probably own on DVD already. And I know, it's $3 a pop. So, if we do, and we do what, 12 movies a year or 12 movies a month. No, we don't. We do 6 movies a month, but that's still, $18 out of their pockets.
Well, there's other ways to get them without spending that money. I'll just say,
I know. I just watched a certain sequel to a certain zombie movie on YouTube.
We had to, too, because you cannot find it anywhere.
No, why is that?
I have no idea.
Fun fact, that was the first VHS tape I ever rented, was Dawn of the Dead. But there are a couple of...
It.
What was that?
Y'all can't find Dawn of the Dead anywhere?
No, I can't. Do you? Let me guess. You have it on DVD.
I got the Ultimate Edition DVD. Y'all should have told me. I'd have sent y'all copies of
it. We can't do that. That's illegal. I'll talk to you. Oh, whatever. I'll talk to you after the show. That's a good one. We're going to watch that. Spoiler alert. We're going to watch that for... I picked three horror movies from the 70s that I like. I picked the original Halloween, which I know you guys just went over that, Brent, a couple weeks ago. And we did the original Alien we're going to do, and we're going to do Dawn of the Dead. So a lot of people were pushing for The Exorcist, but demons, man, I don't get involved.
I've never actually seen The Exorcist all the way through before, so I've been thinking about doing it on our show.
I've never seen it at all either, and I don't want to.
Why is that, Stark?
Yeah, that's too scary.
Really, you think it's too scary?
Exorcist, yeah.
It's the subject matter. I tell people it's a subject matter. They don't believe me. What is the scariest movie you've ever seen, Stork? Or what movie bothers you to this day?
Oh, scariest / bothers me. I don't know. I actually have several that it doesn't last long, the bothersomeness, if that's a word. But for a couple days, I'll just be creeped out. Like, we just watched The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Mm. And I've been creeped out for the last couple days, I'll be honest. So it passes after a while. I can't really think of something that sticks with me that much, though.
But it's because you live in a farm out in like rural Pennsylvania, so everything looks like The Witch, right?
I'll send you a picture of where I live. It's not very rural.
In my head, you live in rural Pennsylvania, and when I watch Night of the Living Dead, I'm like, this is Stork's neighborhood. There's a graveyard and a farmhouse, and that's it.
Where I grew up was a little bit more, but no. It's not the sticks out here. I'm in a suburb of Pittsburgh, so.
Okay. I'll believe you. You're out there in Fred Rogers territory. Brent, nothing seems to bother you. Is there a movie that's ever scared you? Or was there a movie that's ever kind of stayed with you?
I don't want to sound like the big tough guy, but I really can't think of any.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never, even as a kid, I liked watching that type of stuff. So I kind of grew up looking at it. I grew up watching Freddy Krueger movies and all that when I was really not supposed to be looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, I had to go back to when I was a kid. The only one I really remember getting in my head as a kid was the Hellraiser movie with Pinhead.
Really? Of all the movies you've seen, that's the one that bothered you? That's weird.
When I was a kid, yeah. Now I watch them and I don't care no more. But as a kid, that's the only one I can remember being like kind of spooked by. Everything else, I didn't really care.
I'm telling you, the guy in the in the bear costume in The Shining, forget it. Forget it.
That is hilarious to me. I laugh at that every time.
I wouldn't mind if he just didn't turn to the camera and stare directly into my soul. That's the only thing that bothers me.
Well, what if the door opened like a minute like after that and you'd have seen something much worse? Would that have been worse or better?
I don't know. It's that whole thing is weird. I think Ray Bradbury said that the scariest things are the things that are just slightly off. It doesn't have to be, you know, something deeply horrific. It just has to be slightly weird. And that's the thing about The Shining. Everything in that movie is just slightly off in some way. And so it's very unsettling.
Which would you watch, The Exorcist or The Shining first?
Oh, The Shining.
Oh, okay.
The Shining. I mean, I enjoy it as a, like, watching it, like, as a movie, as just saying, this is how it's made, you know, the camera work, the whole thing, the acting, everything, I can kind of, but with The Exorcist, I'm just like, this looks like a documentary right now, so I'm gonna head out, I'm gonna come back, and, no, you know, I haven't seen The Exorcist in years, so it's probably not as scary as I remember it, but as a kid and growing up Catholic especially, you know, that kind of stuff is like, oh, this is, you know, this is real.
That's how I feel. It's kind of built up in my head to this horrible thing that I don't want to see. But if I watch it, I'm probably desensitized at this point that it won't be that bad.
You watched 8 Police Academy movies. You're ready for anything.
That's true.
Was it 8?
If not, I've heard there's going to be a remake.
Oh.
Who's the TV show on?
Yeah, it was a cartoon, right?
No, there was a TV show and a cartoon.
Oh, God.
Who's your Gutenberg? Let's cast the remake. Who's your Gutenberg?
Well, I think he's going to be in it.
Oh, there you go.
Is he going to be the commandant?
Oh, that would be good.
He graduates up.
I think we recasted it when it was all over and done with. I can't remember who I picked for my Gutenberg.
I know who your Hightower is.
The Rock.
Is it The Rock? I was going to say Terry Crews.
Oh, that'd be good, yeah.
Terry Crews would have to be your... Who's your sound effects guy?
Oh, Dougie Fresh.
Somebody with a soundboard. A podcaster with a soundboard.
Anybody? Joe Rogan?
Sure.
Joe Rogan with a... Joe Rogan with his own. That was the new Police Academy. That's it. Brought to you by the Power Trio. That's it. We're the Power Trio.
Let's produce it, Stuart.
They'll pass this on to everything I learned from movies. It seems more up their alley.
Oh, they'll have too much fun making that movie.
The only movie I've ever wanted to cast is the Gilligan's Island movie, and it changes every few years, but... that's something I always in my head. I'm like, you know, driving along. I'm like, who's this year's Marianne or who's this year's Ginger? Think
I've
about
never
it.
Seen that show before.
Amy Adams.
Oh, Marianne or Ginger? She's got to be the Marianne.
Who, Amy Adams? She's
yeah.
Ginger.
You think so?
Yeah.
But she's got that girl next door quality that qualifies her as a Marianne.
I've seen her in some things.
Can you DM me those whatever you've seen her in? Thank you. Let's talk about you said you predicted Justine's score for Bullet was a 6. I will tell you, I don't think it's a 6. I think I'm spoiler alert, you're not going to find out till next week, but I think she may have liked it more than a 6.
Really?
Yes.
I'm always amazed at her scores. They're always the opposite of what I think they're
doing. You know what? I will tell you what. Doing the Digital Movie Club has been great for me because it's really been... I love everyone's reactions, but Justine is especially fascinating because I honestly thought when I started, I said, she's going to have to sit through all these war movies. She's never going to enjoy them. Those have ended up being her favorite. And
right.
And then all the stuff I thought that she would be bored by, you know, The Longest Day or The Magnificent Seven or all the Great Escape. I was like, these are 3-hour long movies. Loves them. She loves every second of them.
I know. It's crazy.
I think we should just have a podcast with Justine. Should have her own podcast where she just people just send her recommendations and she watches the movies, because you never know what it's going to be.
Oh, I got some movies like a game show where you guess her scores.
Oh my god, let's do all right. Let's guess the bullet scores. Are you guys ready? Well, it's unfair because I think I was there, but I'm going to say she gave it a 7. I'm going to say it's a 7.
Well, I was close.
Yeah. She's a big Steve McQueen fan, so.
He seems like she likes his acting, but she doesn't like his personal life. Behind the scenes shenanigans.
Yeah, he was a little bit of a control freak and not easy to work with.
Yeah, I remember hearing stories on Magnificent Seven where he'd be in the background and he'd always be doing something like fixing his hat or chewing on straw just to upstage Yul Brynner.
Well, his wife was, they did a little like 20-minute thing before the movie last night, and his wife at the time said that he went through, in Bullet, he went through and took out all the dialogue that was absolutely unnecessary and gave it to the guy who was playing his partner. And so it ended up being that they would just, the camera would just be on him reacting. And I guess that actor brought it up to him, and he said, "Well, I'm the star, baby." You can't hate that. I mean, you can, but I mean, I do the same thing on the podcast. So,
kindred spirits.
Kindred spirits. No. Speaking of which, I just rewatched The Cincinnati Kid. They're doing Steve McQueen. It's like Steve McQueen month on Filmstruck, and I just rewatched The Cincinnati Kid, which I believe you had recommended, Stork.
Yeah, I love that one.
You know, that's a movie I always want to love, and what misses for me is it's supposed to take place in the 1930s, but aside from the cars and some of the clothes, it could be any time. It could be any time period. That always kind of throws me when movies do that.
Yeah, I guess I haven't seen it in a long time. So I haven't really watched it with the acquired filmmaker type eye that I have now.
After but, 8 police academies?
Yes, after that. But I love poker, and that's why I love the movie.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was cool. I always thought the ending was cool because it's the hero doesn't win.
Don't tell Brent. He hasn't seen it. Have you seen it, Brent?
I don't even know what y'all talking about.
It's a movie called The Cincinnati Kid. It's with Steve McQueen. He plays a guy called The Cincinnati Kid, even though he's from New Orleans. And
he's not a kid. He's old.
He's old. And he's going to take on like the best poker player in the world, I guess. And it's all about him just getting ready to take part in this big game. And then at the end, he, as Stork said, he doesn't win.
Good performances, though.
Yeah. I just watched it again, and I forgot Anne Margaret was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this is so not Bye Bye Birdie, Anne Margaret.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it again. I'll give it a – but that kind of threw me. I'm like, oh, this is – is there certain things like that for you guys that take you out of a movie? Like you have a certain – flaw that will always come up that kind of takes you out of it?
I don't know. I like certain flaws will make me more into the movie because it makes me laugh. Like when the boom mic pops up in the shot, I like live for that type of shit.
All the Dolomite movies.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Here you go.
What I hate is when you got a kid playing a role that's already established. And he doesn't have the same eye color as the actor.
Damn. Like
his younger self.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't look like the regular guy. It's like, put some contacts in him.
Yeah, or make the movie in black and white.
Yeah.
Do the flashbacks in black and white so that you can't tell the kid's eye color is different. You know what else bugs me is when they make an obvious joke about someone you know is going to be someone in the future. Like, you know, it's like, it's a movie about a musician and they're walking by a guitar, like a guitar in a store window. And, you know, he'd be like, oh, I'd really like to have that guitar. And you're like, surprise, it's George Harrison. You just, you know. I get it. The only time that joke ever worked is in Back to the Future. And it's just because the actor sells it. This is your cousin, Marvin. Marvin Barry. They really underline an exclamation point.
I got one. I hate when there's like a bunch of movies and they overuse like CG blood. That does annoy the hell out of me.
Oh, I don't like, yeah, CG blood is dumb.
CG, yeah. Overuse CG is just rampant and pretty horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you have to use it, okay, but if you can do it practical, just do it practical.
That's how I feel too.
That's why, you know, I have a friend who had never seen the movie The Thing, and she came to our board game night, and we played the board game version of The Thing, and she's like, what movie is this? This is awesome. And I said, you've never seen The Thing? So she went and watched it because it's on Amazon Prime, and she said, the fact that they used puppets made it so creepy to do all of the effects, you know, back when they had to do it that way. And that's why that movie holds up, because when the freaking head starts crawling, grows spider legs and starts crawling, it looks like an alien. It doesn't look like anything, you know. And if you did it in CG, it would just look too smooth. You would just say like, oh, that's a CG alien. But the fact that they use, or like the scene with the dogs, like that whole thing, you know, all those tubes and everything sticking out of it just make it look disgusting.
Yeah, we just watched that last year for the first time, both of us, I think. Ooh. And the story is kind of slow at this point, but the effects, you cannot diss the effects. They're just top-notch, and they hold up totally.
Yeah. There's a lot of atmosphere. It does take a little bit, but when you see those things happening, you're just like, oh. And once it gets going, it's really kind of, it doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Brent, you still have not seen Assault on Precinct 13, have you?
No.
The original. Have you ever seen that, Stork?
No, I haven't.
There is one scene. I want Brent to watch it because there's just one scene where I know I was horrified, and I know Brent will just bust up laughing.
That sounds about right.
I just want to see if the reaction is right, but that's definitely one you should... you should check out eventually.
I got the remake here. I've seen that remake, but I only watched it once because I remember not liking it that much.
Yeah, I heard the remake is not that good. So I don't know. By the way, if you're listening in the audience and you hear that little beep noise that isn't the door going off here at the store, I don't know what it is either. So just so you know.
It's just a fire alarm.
It's the app is making the noise. It's the app. Yeah. Do you guys have a favorite movie so far this year? Because I'm trying to figure out what my favorite movie has been this year. Black Panther's still out in front for me.
Damn, that was this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was way back in February.
Man, that's right.
Well, we stopped going to movies so much because of MoviePass. We paid for a whole year, and then it sucks now. So we haven't seen anything in quite a while. But I'll have to let Brent go first on that one.
Oh, that's rough for me because I haven't really gone to the movies. This is like the year I've been to movies the least. If I had to say one thing, though, what did I see this year? I don't know if it's my favorite, but I did like the second Unfriended movie. As much as y'all would probably laugh at me for that. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Better than Suicide Squad?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Better than Star Wars?
No.
Better than Casablanca.
I haven't seen Casablanca yet.
That's our version of that question. We have we have Better than Casablanca.
I might go A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place was good too. I haven't seen that yet. That's probably number 2 on my list. Behind the I just like Black Panther because it was so unexpected. For what a super, you know, I was getting ready to have superhero burnout. And that really kind of brought me back. And just the way they did it, like I told Brent, it's like a James Bond movie. And I really liked that they took that approach with it.
Oh, I love when they went to the casino even. That's great.
Yeah. It's like, oh, see, See, James Bond, you can still be relevant.
Oh, I just remembered too. I'm mad I forgot about that one. My favorite one, because it surprised me the most, was the Superfly remake. That's what I'll say.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it yet. It's on digital now. I got to check it out.
Yeah, I got the Blu-ray now, too. We're going to do it on the show eventually. But I wouldn't think that was going to be complete garbage, and I liked it a whole lot. That and Black Klansman, it's a tie between those two.
What, did they keep the soundtrack for Superfly? Or did
that's the only part of the movie. That's the reason why I won't get a good, like, higher score, is because that soundtrack is garbage, because I hate Future and music. Garbage. He did the whole entire soundtrack.
Get off my lawn.
Exactly. I'm a stork right now when it comes to that.
You're the hip-hop stork.
They used two songs from the original soundtrack. One is, like, in the middle of the movie, and then they play Superfly at the very end. Nice. That's it.
Yeah, that's always hard when they do up. They redo a movie like that. You want the soundtrack. They did that with The Magnificent Seven. They kind of threw in the theme at the very end. Just keep the damn theme song. All right. I got a game for you fellas. All right. So, you know, we do our board game show, by the way, Beside a Geek. You're our number one fan, so God bless you for that.
Where's it been?
Here's what happened. We have, over the last few months, we've had a lot of new people join the board game group. So we've been playing a lot of stuff that we've already covered on the show. So we haven't had a chance to play a lot of new games. And when we do, we haven't all played them together. So we're slowly building up back up to getting, but we'll be back. We were going to do one last week and we ran out of time, but we have enough now to do at least do one show. And then once the holidays roll around, it's easy, 'cause we can start doing, like, you know, best games for kids, best game for that kind of stuff. But we had about four or five new people join our group. So we've really been playing stuff that's just easy to play. And so the show is still a going concern. We just haven't had a chance to do anything new. So we'll be doing that. All right.
All right.
So this game is called Geek Out. All right. And I'm just going to go over one card. I'm going to pull one card out. So the categories are, I think it's film, TV, music, literature, and then like a wild card. All right. And this is a wagering game. So I will say something and, you know, it'll be like two types of crackers. And then you guys go back and forth and you say, I can name three, I can name four, I can name five. Till one of you says, okay, I challenge.
And then it's like name that tune.
Basically. And the other person has to come up with whatever they are. So I'm just going to pick a card at random and we'll just go down the card and it'll be a best of five. Alrighty, gentlemen. All right. Number one, first question is a cinema question.
Oh.
All right. Six feature film directors. So we'll let Brent have the first one on this one. Six feature film directors.
Throw out one or throw out six?
No, no, yeah. You have to say, can you name six? And then Stork will say, I can name seven. And then you can say, I can name eight, nine. And then till you get to a point where you say, okay, I challenge. And you can try to name them all, or the other person can pass. And then that makes you have to, answer. So you're basically betting on how many you can do.
Okay.
All right.
Well, yeah, I can name six, definitely.
I can name seven.
I can name eight.
Do it.
All right, Brent. Eight feature film directors.
Name those directors, I mean.
David Cronenberg. What's his name? Steven Spielberg. Mm-hmm. I don't remember his first name.
All the Bergs. You're hitting all the Bergs, first of all.
I keep forgetting first names. I have to say last names.
Yeah, you can say last names. It's fine. As long as we know who they are.
All right, so I say, who else did I say? Cronenberg. Orson Welles.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't count.
Oh. John Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
Ridley Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Who directed that? Chawoo.
Mm-hmm.
What?
One more.
Akira Kurosawa.
Nice.
Spike Lee.
You got it. Dude, that's nine. You threw in an extra. Now you're just rubbing it in.
All right.
All right. This is on television. This is a television question. Two fictional school principals. Stork?
I can name two.
Oof. Yeah, I challenge because I can't think of them.
All right.
Okay, we got Belding from Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And Skinner from The Simpsons.
That's the only one I can think of.
There you go. That's it.
And that's all I got.
Perfect. Oh, God. All right. So it's tied. We're tied. So Brent, you got the lead on this one. This is literature. Four characters from Peanuts.
Oh fuck. I can name four.
Five.
Shit. do a challenge out.
All right, five to Stork.
Charlie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Peppermint Patty.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Linus.
Yes.
Snoopy.
There you go.
Woodstock.
Oh, now you're just being a jerk. Uh-huh.
Sorry. Yeah. I wasn't keeping track.
Sally.
Is Woodstock the bird?
Woodstock is the bird.
Okay.
And the bird is the word.
Franklin.
All right, here we go. This is for my friend Brent here. So far it's Stork in the lead with two, but only because there's been three questions. two songs about school. Two songs about school, Brent.
Hmm. Damn it. I can think of one. I can think of two.
Stork.
Pass.
All right.
Let me see. What is it? Damn it. What is the name of the group?
You just give me the songs. I don't need the group. You can just give me the songs.
I know it's a song called I Missed the Bus with Chris Cross talking about they missed the school bus. All
right.
And, what is that? Damn it. I can hear it in my head. I can't think of the name of it. Fuck. I can't think of the name. I can't think of another one.
Do you want to steal? Do you want to steal? This is a chance to steal and win the game, Stork.
How about Fight for Your Right to Party with Beastie Boys?
Mm.
Like, don't late for school and I don't want to go?
I would. I'm going to say no just because I want to get to this question.
Okay.
This is the random one. So if Brent gets us, it's a tie. If Stork, this is Stork for the win, basically. Four professional wrestlers.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
Four to Stork.
That's for me?
Yeah, four to Stork. Can you do four, Stork?
Yeah, I can do four.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Five.
Right.
Six.
Seven.
Eight.
Nine.
Ten.
11.
12.
13.
14.
15.
Go ahead.
The Rock, Triple H, China, Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, Daniel Bryan, The Miz, Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Ric Flair. Was that 10?
Yep.
All right, Maurice, Bailey, Oscar, Cody Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes.
There you go.
Dust.
All right.
Here. Here's what, Besada Geek, you're the winner because he didn't name anybody from Lucha Underground. So you get the point, Stork.
I thought saying a Beastie Boys song would get me the win.
I wanted to. Well, we're tied, gentlemen. So I'm going to roll a magic die here that you can't see. And it's going to tell me what color we're going to pick next. That color is green. And that is your music category.
Oh, God.
Two songs with a beverage in the title. Two songs with a beverage in the title. And that goes to Brent first. This is for the tiebreaker right here. for the win.
Oh, I got two.
I got three.
Let's see. Three. I got three.
You have to have four.
Oh, four, my bad. Oh, I got four then, yeah.
All right, pass it.
All right, here we go. Four. Four songs with beverages in the title.
All right, there's 8 Ball, Brass Monkey, Carlos Rossi, and there's one song called Colt 45.
No naming.
Oh, gin and juice.
No, yeah, gin and juice, of course.
Oh, yeah.
What about Pina Colada song?
That's the only one I knew was gin and juice.
Let's check all the beers. So.
Margaritaville?
Huh?
Hmm. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer by John Lee Hooker. Congratulations, yeah. Brent. You win.
Oh, no, no. Oh, that's it?
That's it. You won. That was it. What did you think of that? How about that?
That was fun.
That's our little song. That's a little game called Geek Out.
Is that the name of the game?
Yeah, you can actually get it on Amazon. There's a pop culture. It's Pop Culture Party is the one we played, and then there's another one that's just straight geek stuff, like really, really
kind of like Trivial Pursuit for nerds.
Yes, we just lost Brent.
Yeah.
Hold on, I can get him back.
The music one killed me.
That's it, man. It was music that killed the beast. 'Twas music that killed the stork.
Yes.
That's it.
Not my forte.
Not my tempo. That, well, Whiplash.
Is it a song? I don't know.
Did you ever see the movie Whiplash?
The movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember he says, not my tempo. There he is.
I saw it once.
See that? We didn't even have to drop out to get him. What happened?
I forgot the screen can't go black.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, you can't let your screen go blank because it will destroy us all.
Mine has not done it. I don't know why, but I'm not going to push anything else.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah, I actually pushed the button on mine.
You did it. All right, guys. This has been so fun.
Yeah.
So I'm wrapping it up now because it takes me and Brent like 45 minutes to say goodbye. And we're at the 45-minute mark. So... We're going for record. I can only do 90 now because I'm on a time limit here. This can only record. We're actually at 37 minutes, so we don't. There's plenty of time, guys. We have plenty of time, plenty of stuff to talk about, which is why we took questions on the Twitter. Are you ready? Let's jump on over to the Twitter here, and this comes from Eric of Aragon, our good buddy. What is your favorite Motown song? What is your favorite Motown song?
Favorite Motown song. If I had to say one off the top of my head, it's like from the 80s, though, but Dennis Edwards, Don't Look Any Further. That might be my favorite Motown song.
Okay.
What's going on? Would that count?
Sure.
There you go.
I think so. I think he was on Motown.
Yeah, he was on Motown, sure. I would say the Four Tops, I Can't Help Myself. That's going to be mine because it reminds me of when everybody was in Vietnam. We have we had a lot of questions. Pretty good. Our friends, that was from our friend Eric of Aragon. You can follow him on the Twitter at Eric. _of_Aragon. This is from the 2000 DC pod at 2000 DC pod. If you had to find reasons, what are three good things about that monstrosity Blues Brothers 2000? Can you find three good reasons? Three good things about.
What's the movie?
Blues Brothers 2000.
Blues Brothers 2000.
I haven't thought about that movie, much less try to find reasons to justify its existence.
I've never seen it. That's one.
Yeah. There's a video game of it on Nintendo 64.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to say, I don't know who, let me see who the musical acts are. I'm looking it up IMDb right now. It's got a 4.8 on IMDb. I can only assume that translates into an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
There's a kid that played guitar that was supposed to be good, right?
I don't know.
Okay, so you got B.B. King is in it. So
there you go.
I'm already over. That's a plus. Let's see. There's a lot of good musicians. Lonnie Brooks is in it. Junior Wells. It looks like there's a lot of good musicians in it. Nia Peoples from Fame. Nia Peoples. She was huge back in the 80s. Aretha Franklin is in it. So it looks like they got the original band back together. I'm going to say the musicians are probably, I'm going to give, name three of the musicians in the cast, and those are the three reasons why it's good.
Well, we each get one reason, so that works.
Yeah, right? If there's enough musicians to go around, guys. So, you're welcome. Yeah, I have never seen that movie.
I never cared to watch it.
Nope, me neither.
Our friend Pat Francis, the host of the popular Rock Solid podcast, which everybody should be listening to if you don't already. What's the best classic Universal monster movie?
Bride of Frankenstein.
I'm going to have to agree with that one. Bride of Frankenstein for me, yeah.
See, I want to say that, but everybody says that one, so I'll say Dracula.
Dracula, you know, I have to owe you an apology, Brent, because I told you it wasn't that good. It's on Amazon, and I was watching it the other day while I was playing The Fury of Dracula with my wife. So how on the nose is that? But, yeah, it has a lot of atmosphere. And you can't deny Bela Lugosi is great.
The Bride. Yeah, The Bride is the best spinoff for sure, because after the originals, most of the sequels are terrible.
Yeah.
Like the first Frankenstein, the first Invisible Man, they're good, but they get watered down quick.
Yeah.
I love them. I love them all. No, I don't. I was always disappointed as a kid with, like, you know, you'd wait for like Dracula versus Frankenstein or something. And then it's like, you know, talking for 90 minutes and then 5 minutes of the monsters together, you know. That always kind of bummed me out.
That's a little movie. Good luck, see?
Do we lose Brent? Did we lose you? Are you going through a tunnel? And we're back. I don't know how that break is going to sound because that's all edited together. But yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely right, Stork. After a little while, they do run out of steam. And then it's just
it's the classic sequel cash grab. It even happened way back then.
Yeah, we're making $1 million. Let's do it. Now, is Dracula your favorite monster? Is that the way that works, Brent? Or what do you think?
It's not my favorite monster. It's one of my favorite movies, though. Favorite monster, I probably say, is Invisible Man, because he was just an asshole.
We watched that here. We watched that here, and everybody loved it, because, yeah, he's just a jerk. He's just a jerk. Who was the prettiest actress in a Hammer horror film? That comes from Michael Bagford. Who is the prettiest?
I have no names, because I haven't seen that many of them.
Give me Britt Eklund.
Was she in a Hammer horror movie?
I believe she was in at least one of them. She had to be, right? She's a British actress from the Roger Moore era.
They all had to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else is Ingrid Pitt, who turns up in Where Eagles Dare, which we just watched. John Sandy knew off of the top of his head every Hammer horror movie she was in. It was pretty great. I was like, that is impressive. So I'm going to go Ingrid Pitt, because she was really, she's good in Where Eagles Dare, and she's the only one I know. But let's look. I'm looking up Britt Eklund, Mrs. Peter Sellers, for those of you who are playing along at home. Let's see.
Mary Goodnight.
Yeah, that's right.
The Man with the Golden Gun.
That's all I know her from.
Was the Wicker Man Hammer? Because she was in that.
I don't think that was a Hammer movie. No, she didn't start till the 60s. So a lot of those Hammer, well, let's see. She was in Get Carter. I remember that. Oh, she was in The Wicker Man, but I don't think it's... Oh, she was Swedish originally. Or she was born in Sweden, oh. Not Swedish originally. She
well,
was
that
Swedish.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I don't think that is a... I don't think it's a Hammer film. Distributed by British Lion Films. No, sir.
Okay, well then... I don't know Hammer movies that well. I know Christopher Lee and...
So that's your answer?
Yeah, sure. Christopher Lee.
Ingrid, yeah, I don't... Do you guys prefer the Hammer to the original Universal movies, or what's your take on the Hammer movies?
I haven't seen a ton of them, but I love them. I don't... they're not quality-wise better than the originals, but I think they're more enjoyable to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You, oh, you,
know,
you think
more violent, so I like those more.
Yeah, the blood was always really red.
Yes.
They always use like the it just like red paint. So, let's see. That's a good one. That's another good one. Yeah, I'm gonna go Ingrid Pitt, and everybody else isn't sure. So we're gonna watch some Hammer horror movies and get back to you, Michael. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
Michael Bagford. Shout out to Michael Bagford, who actually was on an episode of when we first tried out the Anchor app. He joined us, and then Anchor deleted the whole show. I think.
Yeah.
I think that was a. Were you hosting that one, Brent?
Huh?
Were you hosting that one? I don't remember which one of us was hosting that. I'm responsible for one lost episode. I know that.
I was.
Yeah, I don't think I have two under my belt. All right, so the False Starts podcast, at False Starts Pod. This question is from our sponsor a few episodes back and nearly caused a fight. Do you keep... Let me see if I can clean this up. The twigs and the berries. The twig and the berries. Do you keep the berries in or out at a urinal? What do you got? Yeah. Everybody got real quiet there. What's your answer?
I did not hear.
I didn't get it.
Hold on. Hang on. Got to do a little work here. You got me?
Yeah.
Are you receiving me?
Sound better now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. So the twigs and the berries, right? The twig and the berries. Berries in or out when you're at the urinal? What do you got? Nothing? Nobody wants to answer this question. The question was so controversial that both our guests left. But the question I put to them, and I had to go. It's been 20 minutes. I actually had to get them to come back on the show, to call them each and apologize. And they agreed to answer it on the air. So the twig and the berries, when you're at a urinal, berries in or out?
Out.
I still don't get the question. I can hear you. But
basically, he asks, when you go to the urinal, do you have your nuts hanging inside the urinal or out of it?
Out of the urinal? Damn. I'm in. Because I usually have a belt on, so I just go straight through the fly.
Yeah. That's me too. I like, but if you have to air it out, I'm not judging.
I am. Brent, what's wrong with you?
I got to step back a little bit.
Just to reflect, what's going on? I don't... they also ask, what's the worst commercial you've ever seen?
The worst?
The worst commercial you've ever seen.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you which one is annoying me now. The commercials are okay, they're whatever, but it's the fact that people are trying to make it happen, and that's Dilly Dilly.
Oh, they're awful.
Oh, yeah.
Don't try to make it a thing, people. Just no. Just
yeah. Beer commercials, car commercials, they're political commercials. They're all. Those are my top three.
That's what I was gonna say. Any commercial endorsing Trump is fuck that commercial.
Yeah, every time it's election time, all that stuff. We have a commercial that runs. There's a joke here that we have. There's this thing called Shen Yun. It's like the Chinese national. It's kind of like their cultural show. So they come out and there's like dancers and swordsmen. It's this big whole thing. Those commercials literally run for 6 months before the show starts. So we have a joke, me and my wife, that there's two seasons in California, pre-Shen Yun and then post. That's it. Because the commercials are either running, and they're constant, especially as you get on towards the evening and, you know, the show, like the evening news. It's every time they cut to a break, there's a Shen Yun commercial. So they're not bad. I mean, it looks cool. It's just they're on constantly. So
play them out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I wouldn't say it's the worst, but. Yeah, you're right though. Anything with beer commercials are always bad. You're right, Stork.
Thank you.
Hold on.
I don't hear that a lot over here.
Hold on, buddy. Here we go. This is for you guys.
When was the last time something was so beautiful it moved you to tears? So masterful it left you in awe. So powerful, it changed how you saw the world. This season, we invite you to rediscover the power of art. Shen Yun, an all-new program for 2018.
There you go.
How'd wow. Sounds like a Scientology
commercial. Yeah, yeah. Yep, that's it. And they run constantly until you're like, I must see Shen Yun.
I thought he said Sham Wow at first. So like Sham Wow.
Didn't that guy get arrested?
When was the last time something changed your life? Sham Wow.
I swear, first when you first said, I was like, "What? You hate the Sham Wow commercial?"
Sham Wow, baby. I'll tell you what commercial makes me laugh right now, and it's the stupidest reason. Have you seen the Geico commercial with the prairie dogs, or I think they're little meerkats? Where the girl's breaking up with her boyfriend and the little meerkats pop up all over the cubicles. And they're like, Sherry,
oh, yeah.
Sherry broke up with her boyfriend. At the very end, when the guy comes out, the gray-haired guy, and says, you can save 15% on your auto insurance. There is one of the meerkats and it's drinking coffee. And I don't know why it makes me laugh like an idiot when I see it with its little coffee mug drinking coffee. Don't ask me why. It strikes me as funny. That's all I got, guys. Worst commercial.
Well, I just don't watch TV that much. So
me neither.
Commercials are like at 7 in the morning before, you know, we're eating breakfast before I have to take Peacock to work. So yep. That's it.
Love it. I
just catch them on Hulu most of the time.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I live with people who watch a lot of TV. Does that make sense? So so it's on. It's on constantly. It's my wife likes to have the TV on as a distraction, like in the back. Well, I watch a lot of sports. So anytime the commercials come on, it's during sports, which is why I see a lot of beer commercials.
You watch a lot of sports or you watch a lot of baseball?
all sports, mostly. Well, baseball the most because it's the longest season. But, you know, the Rams are on and Trump hates football, so I got to watch that. And, and I got my Lakers, and then, I do watch a lot of baseball. Not as much as my wife, who will not only watch the game, if they win, she will watch the replay. She will fall asleep to the replay. So, there you go. So those, but, you know, 3 hours, it's just, a baseball game is 3 hours. There's nothing but commercials.
Mm-hmm. Same with wrestling, too. Raw is 3 hours long every Monday, too.
Oh, man. I got to get back into the WWE. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
I'm behind on my Lucha Underground, too.
I am, too. I actually need to catch up on that. I tell you, if you want to check out, Impact Wrestling. I like that better than WWE right now.
Where's that?
Impact if only wrestling. There was a wrestling podcast that we knew that would put out content.
Why, there is. It's called What Were They Thinking? Let's just kidding. Just kidding, Rob. Our friends, of course, at WNA.
Let's tag in from Florida. We're going to take it over today. Ready?
WNA. We got...
it's going to be a lot of you, Brent.
What about that, Stork? Moving on.
Yeah, you can pretend I'm there. You're going to get the same reactions.
That'll be. I would listen to that show if I have time. Time permitting. Well, you know what it is, too? I was telling Stork before we started, I don't have as much time to listen to podcasts as I used to, because my commute's a lot shorter now. And the home video hustle's getting longer and longer. So you guys need to go back to that nice 1 hour format, okay?
I got bad news for you this Friday.
Well, what's wrong? I'm turning into a Jasmine.
It's over 2 hours long.
Shout out to Jasmine. Oh. For our friends at the High Expectations podcast. Let me go back on Twitter and see what else we have. So when I leave, when I go away, that's when the thing starts to go nuts here. So bear with me. Mm-hmm. Talk amongst yourselves.
So, Brent, did you finish that Spider-Man game yet?
I did. I didn't get to 100%, but I got the 92 by the end of it.
Yeah. I'm at like 40-something right now.
I saw you streaming one day. I didn't see it live. I looked at one of your replays on Twitch.
Yeah, I figured, what the hell? I'm sitting here playing it anyway. I might as well do something. I don't know. Maybe I'll get a viewer or two.
Does Stork show his face on Twitch?
Yeah, I'm on Twitch.
Wait, do you reveal yourself?
Do I what?
Reveal yourself.
Record myself? Yeah.
No, reveal.
I reveal myself. Yes, you can see my face.
What? Brent,
got
is
a
he?
Hat on for most of it.
Brent, is he as handsome as I think he is in my head?
The plan was to wear a mask the whole time, but that didn't work.
I get real hot, man.
Yeah.
Well, when you see Stork, so this is working out. So should I watch your stream, or should I watch our own cast member Jake? Should I watch his? Whose stream am I? Should I watch?
You should probably watch his. I don't really. I'm just making weird faces because every time I play a game, I get so into it. I'm just like, yeah. And I don't know how to. I'm doing really well yet, or anything like that. I'm sure Handsome Dan Handsome is well ahead of where I'm at.
I gotta get on this Twitch thing. I gotta get on it.
I was watching her stream not too long ago.
Who?
What?
Huh? All right.
I thought you were choking. Are you all right?
No, I'm good. This has been a great show. It's been a good show. We had some Twitter questions. We had some trivia. We talked networks. I got to tell you, I love you guys, and I love both of your shows. And I'm a big fan. I'm not just a fellow podcaster. I'm a friend. And keep up the good work.
Most definitely.
Give my love to the Peacock and the Spirit.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And the Spirit, is she loving being part of the show? It's funny how people that are like, I don't want to be on mic, like three episodes in, are like.
Addicting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Are you going to do a spinoff?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's not going to be a podcast, though.
What's it going to be?
It's me and her going to get on Twitch, actually.
Oh, cool. I thought you were going to announce your marriage. I was like, yes, here it is. Exclusive.
Nah, not yet. We both ain't ready for that yet.
My ratings will shoot up for one episode. I can't wait. You're going to get on, you guys are going to stream on Twitch. That's cool. Okay, I got to get on this Twitch thing. I'll do what I did with podcasting. I'll wait 5 years after it's hot, and then I'll jump on it.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Hell yeah.
Pick up those scraps, everybody else. Anybody that's not listening to Mark Maron or Home Video Hustle or Beside a Geek or a murder podcast.
That's the thing right there.
Okay, what if you guys, this is, I seriously want to do this. Let's do this. I want to do a murder podcast, but I want to do fictional stories and like actual well-known fictional stories, but I want to do it like I'm reporting it like it's a murder podcast, like it actually happened. And see how many,
just make up everything.
See how many people, no, like take the plot of like, you know, of an Agatha Christie novel and just retell it, just, you know, kind of give it a synopsis, but pretend like it's an actual thing that took place and see how many people buy it. What do you think?
I'm down. Can we drink wine while we do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, of course. All those murder podcasts drink wine. Do like the plot of the plot of the Hound of the Baskervilles, but you know, you just kind of change. You know, we can't use last name, so Charles. Charles is due to set to inherit a lot of money from his family, and he moved to a small town in England. You know, just do it that way, and then people will be like, "Oh my God!" and never tell them that they just heard the Hound of the Baskervilles. Oh, that'd be great.
So we're just taking the plots of crime novels,
yes,
and pretending that they're true crime.
Yeah, and we do them as we never mention it, and we never say that it's true or false. We just start telling the story, and we produce a hell of it, like Serial. We add the music, we do everything, but we just use like you know.
We have to do like NPR voices too.
Like, yes, yes, yes. Do it, like nail it. Do it.
What happened next?
Yeah. Just to get us ratings, and then at the end, after we've got a huge following, we tell everybody, you know, congratulations, you've just heard Murder on the Orient Express. We war the worlds, them is what we do, is what I want to do. That's basically what the murder podcast. But then my worry is that the podcast gets so huge and so popular that I can never tell anybody that we're doing that, you know. And people who know.
I'm in.
Yeah, right? That's where the sweet podcast money is. It's all the murder podcasts.
It is, man.
Yep.
People like to hear those stories.
Yeah, I've never listened to one, so I don't know what all the, to steal a term, hype is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, they are popular.
I'll tell you which. If you're going to listen to one, it's not particularly. It's not a murder. It's a sequel to a murder podcast. The one that kind of put them up in the forefront was Serial, and the follow up to that is called S Town. If you've never heard it, listen to S Town. It's not technically a murder podcast, but it tells a really, really fascinating story in a really, really, and it's really well done. You'll be hooked. And it's not technically a murder podcast, but it's worth checking out. I think it's 8 episodes. I think maybe.
Oh, that's
yeah.
not bad.
No, you can. It's really, really good. And I listened to that, and I was like, okay, I get it. I understand why people listen to these. They're compelling stories. But it's basically that This American Lifestyle of reporting just with murder, you know. So it's basically what it is. But people love those murder podcasts, man. That is crazy. Of all the things that take off. But then I guess if you think about it, what's been popular on TV for the last 20 years, like Law and Order, all the Discovery ID stuff, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. Making a Murderer. Yeah.
By the way, one more question from False Starts Pod was, how would you get away with murder?
Have somebody else do it for me.
Not money trail, though. Money trail. You got a money trail.
That's how you get rid of them too afterwards, like the Joker in the Dark Knight. You just kill them all off after a while.
I would burn everything. Cleanse it with fire.
I would just be elected president and then shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and nobody will. The first time he said that, I laughed. I was like, ah, look at this guy. Now I'm starting to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to go, you know what? He at this point, he probably could do that.
I'm sure he could. I'm positive.
Mm. These are dark times we're living in, gentlemen. But thankfully, we have the Besotted Geek podcast at Beside a Geek Pod.
Beside a Geek Pod. Oh, I thought it was a prompt. I'm like, shit, I don't have my paper.
And we have the Home Video Hustle at capital H, capital A, H, capital, no, at capital H, capital V, capital H, capital P, lowercase oddcast. Brent and Stork, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time, boys and girls, let's fight the power. What else do I say? This transmission ends now. We don't have any closing music. Do you guys want to throw a request out there for some closing music?
You know I don't know music. Go ahead, Brent.
You got a Trade Voorhees you want to hear?
Play Brass Monkey by the Beastie Boys.
Okay, well, we can't do it. Now, technically, we should be reviewing this song. So here's a song that I love. It's called it's called Brass Monkey, and originally done by the Beastie Boys, and here's a cover that I love of the Beastie Boys' Brass Monkey. So until next time, guys, fight the power, and this transmission ends now.
Monkey, that funky monkey, brass monkey junkie, that funky monkey.